you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and he'll do that reading for us this morning. Thanks, Dylan.
Good morning. If you could please stand with me in honor of reading God's word, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God, and will give to him the throne, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You may be seated.
Thank you, Dylan. Growing up, one of the most difficult things for me in life, and it's still to this day, is my plans being interrupted. As a kid, I remember one season of my parents' life, they had saved up, and the thing that they had been saving up was a family vacation to California, where we got to go to Disneyland. And we got about half a day's journey away from Spokane, and our vehicle broke down. And in that, I remember just being incredibly frustrated, because why my parents bought the Suburban still makes me ponder even to this day. That Suburban had a pattern of always ruining my plans. And I remember even wanting to go to a soccer scrimmage, and halfway to the soccer scrimmage, that vehicle broke down, and it ruined so many plans. And over my life, I've learned that Jacob has an issue. My life cannot be interrupted. In fact, in seminary, it became quite obvious at times, trying to schedule out everything, and then somebody gets sick, the car breaks down, and things that you try to control so you can get through your goals and objectives, the worst thing that can ruin a plan is an interruption. And so pondering Mary for a week, she gets it. She is quite an extraordinary individual. And every Christmas, for whatever reason, even as churches, as they should in the habits of the season, contemplate Joseph or the Magi or Mary or Elizabeth or Zechariah, or even the prophecies that center around this arrival of God incarnate among us, for whatever reason, when it comes to the person or the memory of Mary, I am shocked by often what is being said in our modern discussions concerning her. And even in light of that, and I don't want to be too specific, but Mary gets it. And she's not even asked if it's okay that her life be radically changed in a moment. Romans 4:7, none of us lives to himself. And none of us dies to himself. So, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Mary gets it. She understands that she is created by God and for God. And if God so wishes to interrupt her life because she is created by him, it is his eternal right to do so, even without asking. God will change our lives, interrupt them, without asking. And what's astounding about that is that the historical pattern of this reality, humanity hates. Because we have our goals, we have our plans, we have our objectives, and on trips to family vacations, they get interrupted. You may have heard of catechism. There's a New City Catechism. The first question that a parent teaches their child is the question, what is our only hope in life and in death? And the answer to the question is, we are not our own, but we belong to God. He has the right at any moment without request or consideration of you to interrupt your life. Because when God's people know this, they know if God interrupts it, it's good. And whatever reason, in the midst of the society we have, divine interruption in the plans of humanity is offensive. Mary is incredible. She gets it. She understands it. And her response to a thing that we are very familiar with is astounding. Behold, she says in Luke 1:38, behold, look, like the obvious. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary gets it. Behold, look. And she, somewhere along the way, in our culturally, I think I can say this, adjusted translation, in light of our slavery of a particular people based on the color of their skin, that we have translated the word slave into servant, the word that she uses is so specific that it doesn't fit the category of servant. She is saying, behold, the slave girl of God, let it be as he says. Without any request, without any consideration for her interruption to her life as she's preparing to get married to Joseph, God says, Mary, you're pregnant. And her response, Mary gets it. I am the Lord's slave girl. Let it be so. The worst thing that I struggle with, you'll probably struggle with, is God changing your plans without you having been asked about it. And if there's ever anything to be considered about Christmas, this is the most astounding thing that I marvel in, that the cost and the impact that it would have had upon her life, how so willingly she is responding to this information. The pattern of all humanity is like mine. But historically, when God shows up, Moses, I need you to go to Egypt. I'm doing something. God's interrupting Moses' future plan of just shepherding sheep. I need you to go to Pharaoh. Moses, like me, reluctant, skeptical, afraid, came up with 5 excuses. And the 5th one made God mad. That's usually where I'm at. And not only that, even after Moses did what God said, God had Moses pick 12 spies to go into the promised land that was promised to them. And when they looked at the land, they came back, they said, everything is like God has described, but we can't do it. And they were able to create a skepticism and a fear within the whole nation of all 10 out of the 12 spies that they were disciplined for 40 years. That's typically the historical pattern of God, or of man towards God's plans. You may have remembered, just to pick, old people getting pregnant. Mary's now the opposite of this, of course. But remember when Sarah, the wife of Abraham, has been promised to have a son, and she waits for 20 years. And as she waits and she's getting into her 90th season, years of life, season of life, she is now skeptical and reviewed her life as that thing is not going to happen. And God showed up in her life, and Abraham said to, or excuse me, the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 18:10, consider her response. And the Lord said, I'm coming back next year. I will surely return to you about this time next year, Abraham. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Talk about an interruption. They have decided to live their life totally without the promise of a son. And when the son is now being realized in 1 year, now Abraham and Sarah were advanced and old and advanced in years. The way of the woman has ceased to be with Sarah. What's that mean? You can't have kids. And as a result of this, Sarah laughed. The historical pattern, when God interrupts our lives, is to be dismissive, critical. We don't believe. And she said to herself, am I, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have now this pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? And the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. If you know Abraham and Sarah, their whole life in a moment was radically interrupted. Abraham, go. Leave your family. Move. You're going to have a son. They went to a place and they tried every way of their own to create a son, adopting cousins as their son in the position, and God drove them all away. Humanity, historically, when God interrupts their lives, have been dismissive, rejected it, laughed at it. Why? Because we have our own plans that we want to accomplish. And we want to accomplish them according to our own ways. Moses did it. Spies did it. Abraham and Sarah did it. Even in Luke, Zechariah, who's missed in the first chapter of the reading, the public reading this morning, he was told he would have a son and his wife was old. And as he was going into the temple, an angel came before him. Mary is astounding. Similar situation. And Zechariah will not believe, but Mary will. In chapter 1, verse 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." Look, they're praying for a son. It's so crazy. And when they're going to get it, he doesn't believe. "For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this?" Like, so, well, usually you can get to a point where you can doubt. "But I'm old, and my wife is advanced in years." Skepticism. Life would be totally and radically changed if this happened. And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent, unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe in my words," or "you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." What's my point? I appointed to Moses. I appointed to the 12 spies. I appointed to Abraham and Sarah. I appointed to Zechariah. Mary gets it. And I could point to you and I. Mary understands, as we walk through this, God has every right to work out his plans as he sees fit. And the people of God's, their response should be, "Oh, I am his slave. Let it be as he says." And Mary, in her youth, gets it. If there's anything to consider about Christmas and the significance about Christmas morning, it's the reminder that we are not our own, but we are belong to God, and God has graciously intervened so as to redeem that which he created. And that's you. And he did it by his will and his will alone. None of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. For it is written, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's the point. And so when Mary's life is interrupted, because she has this view of God, she's ready. And she does ask, like Zechariah, "How will I know?" or "How will this be?" But her response isn't a response of like rejection or dismissiveness, but she's puzzled. Like, how is this going to happen? Look at verse 31. As these things get told to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Not only are you going to be pregnant, the person within your womb is God. "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father." He's the promised one, and he will reign over his house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. If you or I were in that situation, I wonder how we would respond. Her response is not rooted in disbelief. She is not dismissive. She's rather not skeptical, but she is just obviously puzzled that she says in response, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" She's puzzled. The angel will then say, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Just like in the very beginning, when the Spirit hovered over the waters before the creation of all which takes place and we've seen today, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and create life in your womb. For God can create out of nothing. He can create and incarnate himself amongst you with the same power. That's a big pill to take. And he's going to do all this. No questions. If you look at both Joseph and Mary, when their lives are going to be radically shocked by God, both of their responses are immediate. His parents, this is when you took a parenting class, this is why I said, first time obedience, that's the goal. Mary and Joseph are great examples. There are a lot of examples throughout the scriptures where it's not that. Jonah, for example. And he still has to do what God told him to do. The goal is first time obedience. And Mary and Joseph get it. What do they get? God made me. He gets to make the rules. And because he created me within his house, I should respond in reverence to the one who's made me. But for whatever reason, this story about Mary has become offensive because God doesn't ask the woman if it's okay. Mary gets, she is God's creation. And when God intervenes into his creation, it is not evil, it is good. And so the things at which Gabriel announces is not, while it will be challenging to explain, it is for not only her benefit, but for all humanity's benefit. She is just a vessel and willingly ready to let her life be totally and radically interrupted. The psalmist declares this. Like, who we ask when we talk about the gospel, like, where in the world are we? God's house. What's that mean? He gets to make the rules. The second question explains so much. Who in the world are you? You've been made in the image of God. You were created to reflect him for his name and for his glory. Mary gets that. If he creates me and I'm supposed to reflect him, then that is whatever he asks of me I should do. And the scriptures talk about the specific interest that he has in creating humanity. None other probably more profoundly and wonderfully than Psalm 139, verse 13, which applies to you and to Mary and to Joseph and the 12 spies. Abraham and Sarah, you were formed, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from your sight, verse 15, there were to jump. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eye saw my unformed substance. He knew you before you were created. What's the point? If he knows you before he created you, then he is in charge over you. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not one of them. In Deuteronomy, he is the one who creates life and he ends it. We look at accidents in our world and we think, that happened because of an accident. God is sovereign. He knows when Jacob begins, and he has determined when the life of Jacob ends. Why? Because I am his creation. And as a result of that, that perspective of God should cause you to let God interrupt your life, even if he doesn't ask. He knows when you sit down and when you rise. He discerns your thoughts from afar. He is interested and relationally connected to humanity. But for whatever humanity has done, we have said, the life that you've given is mine, and I can determine how to use it however I want. So do not for whatever reason, interrupted. That's Jacob. It's my sin. But Mary gets it. In contrast of all the others that you read within Scripture, like her husband, Mary, given a big tablet, or not tablet, but pill to swallow. Let it be so as he has said. God's going to put life in you. And this is what he's going to do. Luke 1:32, he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Verse 35. And after asking, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy." One of a kind. God Almighty. The Son of God. Strong language. Synonymous. Like messianic promise, the Christ, he has come, the one within your womb. Could you imagine being Mary? Well, how am I going to explain this to my parents? Like, or just to Joseph, to friends? She's puzzled. And even though she doesn't ask, Gabriel extends to her what God has done in Elizabeth. Her life has been radically interrupted. And he points to that, saying, "Behold," verse 36, "your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren." And they shouldn't be pregnant. But God interrupted their lives and provided the one who would proclaim the arrival of the Messiah, John the Baptist. Why? Verse 37. Nothing will be impossible with God. One of the reasons why I think it's hard about goals and plans and objectives, if you're honest, is you know you can't reach them in your own strength. We try. Often interruptions kill those things. So what in the world exists out there that can fulfill it? When your goals are God's goals, nothing will stand in the way. Nothing will hinder its promise. And Mary, being told about what is to take place in her womb, Gabriel just announces, "You're familiar with this. God's done this forever. Created all creation out of nothing. Saved Israel by going across dry land in the midst of a pillar of water on one side, a wall of water on the other side. God has historically always been able to do that which men cannot fathom be possible." And Mary, you know, as you align to the one who created you, this is going to happen. And her response is one of the most sweetest, I think, I would say Christmas response. No, it's the sweetest response that God's people should declare. If only it was like Adam and Eve in the very beginning. You can eat from any tree of the garden except for that one. Oh, if it would have been if Adam and Eve would have said, "Let it be." Man hates when God gets involved in their plans. But Mary's response, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, God's slave girl. That is the little translation. You think that that might be adequate. Then she doubles down on it. Let it be to me according to your word. Let there be no confusion. I submit. And the angel departed from her. Mary gets it. Her life in a moment was radically interrupted. And she let it happen because she recognized God has every right to do so without even asking. She's not offended. She's not dismissive. She's puzzled, but she's not skeptical. She's not disbelieving. She's accepting. Conviction response. Noah, build a boat. Abram, move. Moses, go to Pharaoh. Joshua, take that land. Gideon, fight. Jeremiah, confront. Nobody's going to listen. Jonah, plead. It's the theme of Scripture. Humanity was created by God and for Him. Man does not find that he lives for himself. When he does, it results in death. God created man to live for Him and for His name's sake. None of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. For if we live, it's God who sustains it. We live for what reason? To Him. And if we die, it's God who determines our days. We die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, it's God who sustains, and for in our life, in our death, we live for His name's sake. Mary's not, well, what she had been called to was unique, but the practice of willingly seeing herself ready and available to do whatever God asked her to do is the standard of all the Scriptures. And she was not being oppressed. Her response declares it. Luke 1:46, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The one in her womb is going to be her Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. One of the greatest things a child loves to do is be enjoyed by their parents. But even so much more to be enjoyed and used by the one who made you. And she is now being invited and being used to give glories to the one who has created her. Overwhelmed that God's going to use me. I will be called. She is, of all women, to bear the Savior who will redeem all humanity, of most blessed position. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is for those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Who's that? Don't touch this life. That's the arrogant. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. She does not sound like, because God interrupted her life, without question, offended. Why? God's in charge. And when he moves his people to do what he asks, it is to my benefit. None of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. If we live, we are to do what? Live to the Lord. That's scary. Because when you're in your 20s, and the only place that you called home is Spokane, and you're asked, not necessarily by a voice, but just a strong conviction to move to Dallas, Texas, with your family, it's scary. And that was our story. I don't like my plans interrupted. But what I have learned, he is faithful. And when he calls you to do what he has asked you to do, he's with you. And when his name is glorified, you find your meaning for life. For when I live for myself, I can't even reach my own expectations. It only increases my depression or anxiety. But to live for him, that is life. And to die for him, that is life, because it comes with a promise. For the one who was within the womb of Mary has promised that though my life suffers under the weight of sin, the hope that I entrust myself to this one, Jesus Christ, has promised upon his return, the plans of death itself will be interrupted and I will enjoy eternal life with him. So whether we live, whether we die, we are his. Merry Christmas. As we take the table together, I would ask you to consider, is that who your Lord is? And that if he came to you like in the days of Joseph or Mary, he still does it to this day, or Moses or the 12 spies, Abraham, I could go on and on and on. What will your response be? Lord, thank you for the example of